Please, if you will, go ahead and turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And we are particularly looking at verses 3 through 6 in Ephesians chapter 1.
Bless you.
Ephesians chapter 1. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever and ever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. O Lord, we pray, grant us understanding and illumination by your Holy Spirit. Father, we might hear and rejoice in Christ our Savior. O Lord, we might go forth today and walk in accordance with your word and will. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you start to speak about the divine sovereignty of God, people will start to get a little bit antsy sometimes, a little squeamish, start to scoot around a little bit on the pews and all that. But when you further dive into the sovereignty of God as related to election, people can often get angry as well. It's almost as if some would think it would be unfair for God to choose who would be part of the body of Christ. They don't like the idea that Christ, the bridegroom, as a bridegroom, gets to pick his bride. Now, you wouldn't like that if it was turned around for you. But actually, the doctrines of election and predestination should actually give you assurance. It should give you encouragement and give you real, true reasons to stop and praise God for his grace in choosing to save sinners. Because if he didn't do so by his own grace, it would be based on merit, and no sinner would ever be saved at all. It's always by grace alone. Now here in chapter 1 of Ephesians, Paul begins to elaborate on all of these spiritual blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. Now from verses 3 through 14, that is in the original language one long sentence altogether. Just one big sentence in that whole essentially 3 to 14. There's an element throughout of it of a constant praise for God for what he has done for each one of us. It's constant praise for what the whole triune God has worked in us to make us part of the body of Christ, to incorporate us into that, to redeem us, and to seal us for that great day of redemption when we finally take possession of the inheritance of all those who are in Christ, the inheritance of the saints of God. It belongs to you. To be chosen by God should be cause for joy and celebration, not anger, not bitterness. To be chosen by God to be in Christ should cause us to walk and want to walk faithfully before him, not sinfully. It's truly a reason for praise. It's a reason for thanksgiving. Now, after blessing God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, Paul goes on to elaborate on what these spiritual blessings are. Now notice, in our text, we are blessed in Christ because we are united to Christ by faith. We're united to him by the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, and we are saved because we are in Christ. And so Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a mighty salvation that God has wrought, that he has worked in us, in the body of Christ. So we too must stop along with the Apostle Paul and render praise to Almighty God. For all of our blessings come to us by his own hand, his mighty hand. And so we should give and express thanksgiving for God's redemptive plan. It is a perfect plan. It is being accomplished, and it is his will, and it shall be done. And we'll all rejoice together on that last day. But Paul is telling us here that God is the source of these many spiritual blessings. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Israel, the same God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the same God who chooses to save us for His Son. He chooses us for His Son. Now, what have we been blessed with? Well, in our text we read, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing, as described from verses 3 through 14. Blessings such as election, adoption, redemption, forgiveness, and inheritance, and a sealing with the promised Holy Spirit of God to bring us all the way to glory. There's cause for joy. It's cause for celebration. It's a cause to uplift your hearts before Him among the body of Christ. It is God's doing. And as the Word of God says, it's marvelous in our eyes because God has done it and He is doing it. And we enjoy these blessings only because we are in Christ. They come to us because we are united to Him by faith. But we were chosen for this purpose, elect by God the Father. Chosen for this purpose. So let's consider then, first of all, chosen by God for a purpose. In verse 4, look again here at our text. He chose us in Him, that is Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. Now we see that even before the foundation of the world was laid, God chose us to be in Jesus Christ. Before we had flesh and bones, we were that in the very mind and the heart of God, that we'd be chosen before the foundation. Just as God has blessed us in Christ, He chose us in Christ. It is His divine electing love. He has chosen a people for His Son, to give to His Son. When Jesus comes to redeem His people, a people who will be His church, His body, His bride. We were elected in Christ Jesus, as I said, in the mind and in the heart of God before the world was ever made. And Paul praises God for this divine choosing. And it is reason for praise, not anger, not a time for bitterness, but it is part of God's grace to save a people out of the mass of fallen humanity to give to His Son. He said, I have chosen eternity past, and they are your sheep. And Jesus said, all those that the Father gives me, I will raise them up on the last day. I will not lose one of them. He will not lose them at all. So we see that even before the foundations of the world were laid, God chose us to be in Jesus Christ. Just as God has blessed us in Jesus Christ, He chose us to be in Christ. It is His divine electing love. He has chosen a people to give to His Son, a people who would be His church, His body, His bride. So Paul praises and gives thanks to Almighty God. Now this particular teaching is not a horrible doctrine. It's not a terrible doctrine at all, as some want to paint it. Rather, it reveals the grace of God. It reveals His grace all throughout the entirety of the epistle. But here especially, if God did not choose to save a people, how many would be saved? None. If God did not choose to save a people, none would ever come to Christ. No one seeketh after God. No, not one. No one does righteousness. None would repent. None would believe. And so God gave a people. He chose a people for His Son. Okay, and they will come by the working of the Holy Spirit of God, and they will come through the ministry of the Word of God, and God will draw them to His Son by the Spirit of God. This electing love of God is the source of all the other blessings that are elaborated here for us that come to us. Consider this. He has chosen us. Not just the Ephesians, not just the Romans or the Thessalonians or even the Jews as a nation, a national election. Okay, not just them, but He's chosen us to be believers, to be Christians. He has chosen you. And I understand. And you think, well, I chose Jesus. Well, yes, you did. But Jesus says, yeah, but I chose you. first. We think, you know, in the flesh, we think, well, I did it. Well, the God says, yeah, you did, but it's because I did it. It's God's work, and it is marvelous in our eyes, absolutely. So it is all those who have received the blessings of redemption, okay? We are chosen in Him, chosen in Christ. If all things were created in Him, in Colossians 1:16, then it was in Christ that our election took place. We were chosen or elected in Christ. F.F. Bruce, a Bible scholar, said this, He is a foundation, origin, and executor. All that is involved in election and its fruit depends upon Him. Election is always and only in Christ Jesus. Always only in Christ. Chosen in eternity past to be in Christ, and that's for a purpose. Always for a purpose. And what purpose is that? Again in verse 4, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. So we were chosen in eternity past to be in Christ, not based on any foreseen faith, not based on any merit or works that you may have done. Nothing about you or me was good about us that He would choose, only because of God's good pleasure, His own good will, that He does so. He chose us to be holy and blameless before Him because we were not holy and blameless. We were sinners, okay? We were unholy, we were guilty, we were blameworthy before God, and yet God chose to save us to be a holy people, okay? He didn't elect us and choose you or save you or whatever so you can live in sin, but He chose us to be a holy people for His Son, Jesus Christ. The purpose of election is always on the holiness. We were dead in sin and trespasses, and if not for election in Christ, we would still be dead in sin and trespasses. God's purpose in election was to create a people perfectly conformed to the likeness of His Son, to make us more like Jesus, to make us like Christ. Without holiness, the Bible says, no one will see the Lord. And so holiness is being progressively worked in the lives of believers by the Spirit of God, which will be completed what? When Christ returns. It will be completed then. We were chosen in Him before the world began, which means it was according to His own preconceived plan, working all these things after the counsel of His own will. The whole plan of redemption with all of its details and all of its results are all within the mind of God. And that means what? His plan will never fail. It will never fail. It means His purposes will never fail. When the Lord saves you, it is for a purpose, and you shall be raised up on that last day, absolutely without fail. And so we have reason to praise His name. We have confidence before Him because of Him. Chosen before the world began, and expresses the sovereignty of God's purpose as one who is sovereign over all things. Grace would be given to us before we ever existed, before we had done good or evil, just as Jacob and Esau. Therefore, it was not for works of righteousness that we have done, but according to His mercy that He saved us. Divine mercy. And we need His mercy. And He saves us. But we were all likewise, and secondly, chosen by God in love. In verse 5, in love He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of His will. Now it's all because of the love of God that He has done so, only because of His love and grace. Now there are times when couples, perhaps they are unable physically to have a child, and they say, you know what, we want a child to love as our own. And so they go and they adopt the child as their own, and they love that child, and they watch him grow or her grow, and they pour their hearts and their love into them. They want to guide and they lead and they direct, and they see them grow up before the Lord and praying for them to grow in holiness before God. And so what joy fills their hearts. You know, that little child that was adopted and yet is now theirs, their child. In love, God predestined us for adoption as sons. It would be through His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that we can be made sons. Another reason to render praise. He would not leave us as strangers. He would not leave us outside of the covenant of grace. He would bring us into the covenant through the blood of His only begotten Son. Now understand, in these days in the New Testament, to be adopted in the Roman world, that was a very privileged position. You had all the rights when you were adopted in Rome. You had all the rights of any natural born child of that couple. You were their son or their daughter with all the rights of any other child that would be there. And likewise, when we are adopted as sons and daughters through Christ, we have all of the rights and the privileges as the children of God. Because of Christ, we have an inheritance with the saints of God, with the saints in light. We are made joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs together with Him. So we see that predestination is for the purpose of adoption. For adoption. However, it is only through Christ that we are adopted as sons and daughters, as the children of God. It is through Christ that we are made joint heirs with Him. And therefore, when you hear the comment, "Oh, we're all God's children," it is not true. Only those who are in Christ are truly God's children. Yes, God made them all, and yes, in that sense, but only those who were made children of Abraham by faith in Christ, these are counted the people of God. These are counted the children of Abraham. These are the bride of Christ. Okay, we must understand and realize that. What is the basis of this predestination to adoption? It is the purpose of God's will. It is His own good pleasure of His will. It can mean both of those, by the way. It is not only the purpose of God, but He delights in His purposes. And here we speak of His redemptive purposes. His purpose to save you, and His purpose to give you to Christ as His sheep. For we are, thirdly and lastly, we are chosen by God for His glory. Look at verse 6 again. This is to the praise of His glorious grace with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. The whole design, the whole purpose of redemption is to manifest the grace of God. And since this is true, our hearts should be filled with constant praise and thanksgiving. We are not worthy. We are unworthy. We are unholy. He makes us holy through Christ, His Son. Surely God has blessed us in the Beloved. He has blessed us in Christ. And according to verse 5, He did it all in love. And through this is all done in the sovereignty of God. But sometimes people will say, "Well, you know what? Maybe I'm not one of the elect." Or they may say, "I'm too great of a sinner that God cannot save me." But God's grace, let it be known, is far, far greater than your sin. Far, far greater than any sinner might be. God can save even the foulest of sinners. And Paul would testify to that himself. He said, "Hey, I was chief among them." Charles Spurgeon said this, "We have a whosoever will gospel. Since there is no paint stripe on the back of God's elect, we freely proclaim, whosoever will may come. Jesus said, whoever comes to me, I will never cast out." Never cast him out. You respond and you think, when was the last time you really broke out in praise to God for saving your soul? Are you truly thankful to God for your salvation and what had to be undertaken by the Son of God to save your soul? Do you truly give thanks to God because it cost the blood of God's only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to save you? Perhaps we need to sing praises all throughout this day, and not just part of the day, but all throughout this holy day. Someone may say that, "How do I know if I am elect or not?" John Calvin said this, good response. He said, "The way to know that God has elected us is by believing in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. If you will put your faith in Him, you know that you are chosen. You know that you are in Him by the grace of God. You put your faith in Jesus. You know. You know. Are you trusting in Christ alone for your salvation? Because if you are, it's because of what God has done in eternity past for you, and what God has done in sending His Son in time for you, and what God has done by the Spirit of God and grace in you in your lifetime, that you might know Jesus Christ. But if you will believe on the Lord Jesus, what does the Bible say? Believe upon the Lord Jesus and you shall be saved. Absolutely, that is true. You are His. Election, though, remember, is always unto holiness. It is for the purpose of being in Christ. Are you growing in holiness? Are you walking with the saints of God? Or you say, I am a saint, but I live like the other side. Saints and sinners, I've seen the book, right? No, you are chosen in Christ for holiness, for sanctification, to walk by faith, turn away from sin. And we must turn away from sin. Remember, as I've said before, Jesus saves us from sin, not for it. Never confuse the two. But I pray that you will ponder these words throughout the day. Reflect on them. If you know Christ as your Savior, give thanks to God for His salvation that's been wrought in your heart. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior, repent and believe on Him today. Trust in Him. As Calvin said, the way to know, believe upon Christ. You'll know. You'll know. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. You will know. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You, Lord, for Your holy word. And Father, we pray, Father, for Your grace upon each heart. Continue that special work of Your Spirit. Lord.